Hi, Paul Slack, it's Good News Planet. I'm here with Sonia Hugh. Hi.
Hi, Paul. It's such a pleasure to be here with
Sonia,
you.
Sonia, I just met you and I'm crazy about you. you really have put together a wonderful book. I actually have a Chinese author talk series, Shanghai Forever Lost. This is the book here.
Yeah, the book.
Face it that way. Okay, perfect. Now, I'm going to read from the Chinese. Oh, maybe not. Maybe later, because I should really learn Chinese since I've been working with the Chinese community so many years. So, and I just came back from Shanghai. So, Sonia, tell me why you wrote this book, Forever Lost. What do you mean, Forever Lost?
Shanghai Forever Lost. Yes, this book is about my grandmother and my mother, their life in Shanghai. Actually, the book started with my grandmother, how she ended up in Shanghai, why she went to Shanghai, because she's from a Muslim family, which was very interesting at that time. Okay. In the early 20s, and then she rebelling against her family, and she's from a very wealthy family. They were doing a trading business with foreigners in Tianjin. And she was engaged to another wealthy family when she was very young. But I'm not going to go over the detail of the book, but that eventually that she met my grandfather, who was studying in Nankai University in Tianjin, and they madly in love, and they moved to Shanghai, basically. And they started their life, family in Shanghai. This is a very interesting story, how they met, and because my grandfather heard about there was a famous beauty in Tianjin, so he went to check out on her because he was a playboy and a womanizer in a way. But once he saw my grandmother stepping out of the rickshaw, he was impressed and he was astonished, and then he thought she was the beauty from heaven. So he started chasing after her rickshaw at that time. So that's how they met. But the whole story unfolded in Shanghai after they moved to Shanghai. They gave birth to my mother. And when my mother was 4 years old, my grandfather was killed because he was working for Shanghai China Customs. And then some smuggler killed him. And so my grandmother, starting from 1925, alone as a widow with my mom. But at that time, she wanted to remarry again. But unfortunately, Chinese people, when the people that really wanted to marry her want to marry her as a concubine, and then she wanted to be the first wife, so she refused to be a concubine, and then she only went out with a young man, but the young man didn't want to marry a widow with a kid, so that's whole her, so in Shanghai as a widow, my grandmother remained single with my mom. She sent my mom to American missionary school since kindergarten. So she went to, eventually end up in Shanghai University, which was like St. John's, the famous American missionary university at that time. So the book talks about their life, their relationship most importantly, very bitter relationship because my grandmother was very unhappy, very abusive to my mom, and my mom hated her and I was terrified by her. And then, so this is the mother-daughter relationship, Shanghai. And also in 1949, my mom left Shanghai to join the revolution in Beijing. And she went through ordeal because some high officials thought she was beautiful, wanted to marry her. You know, the whole story about the nationalist government, anti-Japanese war, Second World War, Shanghai liberation, communist and political ideology reform, everything I mentioned about. But everything stopped in 1953, because after 1953, things get very tricky politically. And it's a taboo to write about it after 1953. And plus, a lot of books being written about it, like Life and Death in Shanghai, The Swan, they all talk about Cultural Revolution, anti-righteous movement. I don't want to go through those kind of things. So I end up in 1953 with my mom, that married to my father, ready to start her own life. And right now I'm thinking about writing the second book about my sister relationship with my mom. They have a very, very complicated relationship, which didn't end up well.
Oh my God. Okay. All right, where do I start?
Yeah.
Well, let's start with.
You asked me why I mentioned about Shanghai Forever Lost. The reason is Shanghai Forever Lost is a paradox. After my mom went to Beijing in 1949, joined the revolutionary, Shanghai became a past that she didn't want to mention. She didn't want to remember because communists didn't like Shanghai. And so she tried all her life to impress the government, her boss, trying to get rid of the memory of Shanghai because that was a bourgeois time. She was educated in American missionary school. That's all pressed the wrong button. So all her life, she was trying to forget it. On the contrary, my grandmother, when she went to Beijing to follow my mother to work in Beijing, she was in her early 40s. So she lived all her life in the bourgeois capitalism society, wealthy, rich. Suddenly she had nothing, end up in revolutionary times. So she was very bitter about it. And she didn't know how to adapt her new life. That's why she keep on talking about the past, that she was holding on the past, refusing to let it go. That's why she, when I was growing up with her, she keep on telling me all the story about Shanghai, begging me to write a book one day about her. So to her, Shanghai was the best time of her life, that she wouldn't let it go. My mother, the worst time that she had tried to let it go. So, but unfortunately now, my grandmother passed away already. My mom, has already forgotten so much about Shanghai until I wrote the book. So basically, Shanghai Forever Lost, it's somewhere you won't lose it, but it's carved in your blood and bone. You can't let it go, basically. So we end up writing this book.
So, well,
the sweet memory of the Shanghai is forever lost. They can never go back.
So your dream to write this book, mm-hmm. and the reason that you wrote this book, mm-hmm. is to fulfill a family. A family? It's not a family obligation. It's a family. It's your own. It's your own personal desire. Yeah. Why did you write this book?
Yes.
Actually, get it out and then. Yeah. And share it with many people,
now. Yeah,
yes. I'm a serious story. This is not, your normal, kind of happy situation. I mean, you had a lot of turmoil.
Yes.
I produced so much.
Sure,
are serious family issues. Not every family has serious issues. These are pretty major.
Yeah. Why I wrote this book, this is my second book. The reason I'm a writer, I wrote a lot of stories, fictions, poems, and writing is just my instinct. I loved writing when I was 7 years old. I wanted to be a writer when I grown up. In all these years that I was writing for magazines, for different places. But the thing is, writing about this is not because it's about my family. It's very unique story from a writer's point of view because I was a journalist, I was a producer, I met millions of people. Some story interests me, some story don't interest me. I wrote down a lot of true stories about those people, but I have to name it as a fiction because those people don't want their story to be revealed to public, so I have to go under the fiction. But this is my family story, so I have the nerve to let it go without using as a fiction. Actually, all my life I've been writing real story, but yeah. So this is because 1925 to 1953, China went through a major turmoil, many regimes, political regimes, and up and down, Second World War, anti-Japanese war, before that nationalist government, and Sun Yat-sen, and everything, Chiang Kai-shek. This is a story that about China from now today. You say you talk about Chiang Kai-shek, everything is about Taiwan. It's not. It's all China. Taiwan is part of China. But I'm the only person right now to write from 25 to 53 through a family story, through those, I call it little people into a big historic big drop of the political background. In a way, how they survive, how they make a living, how they went through, there is a survivor. What do they have to do to survive the turmoil, the struggle, the bitterness?
What do you want the book to accomplish?
Yeah. Okay. One thing is I want the book. Some people already told me your book fill in a history, a blank history that certain government don't want to talk about it. And also my parents, when they were in the labor camp, they wanted to kill themselves, basically. I gave my thanks to my parents because they didn't kill themselves. They wanted to commit suicide, and they couldn't take their life anymore. And then my mom said, Sonia was very little. If we kill ourselves, they would live the rest of life in shame and also in political kind of controversial, because we took our life as a counter-revolutionary. So they didn't do it. But when I grown up, they told me the story. It was shocking. Who, you know, I have two kids. Then I would think, whoa, you can live, you have to kill yourself, and you think about your kids, they make you, you know, survive everything. I want to write about it. This is something very dramatic. As a writer, this is the perfect source, perfect story. It's,
well, I also would like to add, mm-hmm. I think it's the perfect time, mm-hmm. because to a certain degree, mm-hmm. And because I've been involved with the Asian market, mm-hmm. as I mentioned, for many, 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 mm-hmm. many years, in business 32 years ago. Mm-hmm. Why I want to say that is because, and I was also involved with the Pacific Century, the biggest mm-hmm. series on public television. Mm-hmm. Why I think it's such an important time, and I can't mm-hmm. wait for it to come out mm-hmm. in English, mm-hmm. Is because the fact is that today, mm-hmm. you know, we're here in November of 2017, almost every single day in the front page of the New York Times, there's mm-hmm. a story about China.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
And to a certain degree, I'm the average American, I will, of course, who didn't study Asian studies, mm-hmm. Sees a country that has grown extremely significantly, mm-hmm. in actually, those that know, since the 80s, mm-hmm. you know, in a short amount of time. Mm-hmm. So I think what I think will be helpful for people mm-hmm. is to see that this was not an easy path mm-hmm. to get to where China yeah, is exactly. today, okay? Mm-hmm. To get to where, you know, the President of the United States is meeting with their president, to see, you know, China coming into America to purchase this movie company and this mm-hmm. landmark building and so on and so forth. Just as other ethnicities have mm-hmm. this, the English bought stuff, the Germans owned stuff, you know, we sometimes forget, we always sometimes just remember what's happening today, you know. But this is saying mm-hmm. this was not an easy, easy as it appears to be today. Mm-hmm. Right? The buying the Brooklyn Nets, mm-hmm. You know, with Mr. Ma is, he lived through this, okay, because mm-hmm. he's age appropriate, so mm-hmm. he knows about your story, mm-hmm. probably, right?
Yeah. You mentioned about Miss Ma. I thought you mentioned, because this book, my mother has the first love by the name of Miss Ma, because I didn't want to reveal his identity. He was a friend of Deng Xiaoping. He's a friend of Chiang Kai-shek. And then he went to China in the 1980s. To basically invest in China. Now he's a big shot. He's richer than Jack Ma today, but he's still living a life right now. And so my mom wants to send a book to him because he thought my mom dumped him in a way. But you were right. One thing is, China has come a long way, and if you try to forget the past, you don't even know how we end up here. This is just connect with the past to tell us how China become what it is today. Yeah, exactly.
I could see it being a great, mm-hmm. to be frank with you, a great mm-hmm. textbook mm-hmm. in a school setting, mm-hmm. because it's the real family, mm-hmm. and family is, in essence, the greatest history lesson of mm-hmm. them all. Mm-hmm. And I think people can see. Plus, I have to say that I did hear you mm-hmm. say that your mother was a Muslim.
My grandmother was a Muslim.
So now I produced the show on the Jews of Shanghai.
Yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, these are other words that most people don't mm-hmm. know, where a Muslim being mm-hmm. in mainland China, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that was hard. Is this your, who's this?
This is my grandmother.
This is your grandmother.
Yeah. So she was like a movie star. She, for both my mother and my grandmother, they had a chance to become decline, because my grandmother came from a wealthy family. To her at that time in the early 20s, to become a movie star was disgrace, because you're just entertainer. nobody wants to be an entertainer. When my mom was 18, then one of the film academy, you know, wanted her, and then, you know, because they thought she has a quality to become a movie star, my grandmother made her quit the whole thing because she said people from decent family don't want to be entertainer to entertain people. That's a disgrace.
I showed this picture to a friend of mine, mm-hmm. and from China,
yeah,
a scholar, and when he saw this, he said the word noble.
Noble.
And I had to look it up, and it was this is a noble face, mm-hmm. no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, her mm-hmm. face.
Yeah.
Wow.
She's from.
And so who are the other people?
This is my grandmother, grandmother.
Okay, well, hold it, because you have the picture on both sides, which is great.
This is my grandmother, with my mother when she was in American Mission School.
Yeah.
And this is the picture they took right after my grandfather died that day.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
So this is really wonderful, and it's coming out in English when?
Hopefully next year.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And other languages?
Only English right now. Yeah.
And you do have this desire to create another book.
Yes. I have a few other books not related about my family and about... Actually, one of the books is about my life experience in going through the 1980s. 1980s in China, Beijing, was a very interesting period of time, unforgettable. So,
just briefly, I guess, at this, because you're going to put a whole book out. Because isn't that when the 80s was when China kind of grew?
China grew, and also China has a lot of, because I'm sort of like an artist, I married an artist, and there was an underground artistic movement. There was Xinxinghua and Star Art Exhibition. That was a very famous one and created a lot of international chaos because government arrested. So, you know, there's 1980s was a time that we have people start to write about Cultural Revolution in the poem, the novels, and then it's a time that China let culture to be, you know, to unbound in a way, to be free for the short period of time. So a lot of, and also China is in the process of reforming, political reform, economic reform. And the switch of the government happened in 1979, and Mao died in 1976. So everything was in a changing hand, transition time. And as a youngster, as someone that going through high school that time, so I remember clearly what happened.
Okay, yeah. Well, we got a lot to learn here. Let me ask you two last questions, okay? And thank you very much, Sonia. I'm so delighted that you came to speak with
us.
Okay, we've asked many people what is good news for them. What would be good news for you, Sonia?
Personally, the good news is if I can have my English version published and reach more readers in this country and internationally, that would be good news for me. Plus, my grandfather, I'm sure that her soul is still there watching me, will be settled and rested. Yeah.
Okay, that's a beautiful thought. Mm-hmm. And then the last question, which we've asked many people, what does peace mean to them, since we're involved with the International Day of Peace, of which China is one of the countries that agreed for the mm-hmm. Day of Peace, and we even had some participation. We had a group that played drums to the show Mulan,
mm-hmm.
and they made a peace circle, which mm-hmm. is drums, and we put that into our broadcast. So what does peace mean to you?
Peace, I think, means a lot to me. On a personal scale, peace means, you know, prosperity, happiness, everything. But understanding that without a country behind you, you know, you can't be peaceful. I love both America and China. These two countries means a lot to me. Basically, so China, because of the peace it's facing now, so never went into another political movement, war, everything. So because it's the economic reform start to pick up, China is booming economically, become one of the, you know, biggest country in this whole world, have a power. So peace to China is very important. On the other hand, peace to America is very important. Sure. These two countries should remain peace and then work together. And then because of that, if China becomes peaceful and America steady, and then people like us, both Chinese America, can enjoy our life and then bring up our offspring in a peaceful environment, it's very important for all of us.
Okay.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Great.